The calf felt no pain now the broken ends of the bone were immobilized, and the fear which always demoralizes a hurt animal had magically vanished. "Yes," I said. "He certainly has perked up quickly." My words were almost drowned by a tremendous bellow, and the patch of blue above the half-door was suddenly obscured by a large, shaggy head. Two great liquid eyes stared down anxiously at the little calf, and it answered with a high-pitched bawl. Soon a deafening duet was in progress. "That's his mother," the girl shouted above the din. "Poor old thing. She's been hanging about here all morning wondering what we've done with her calf. She hates being separated from him." I straightened up and drew the bolt on the door. "Well, she can come in now." The big cow almost knocked me down as she rushed past me. Then she started a careful, sniffing inspection of her calf, pushing him round with her muzzle and making muffled, lowing noises deep in her throat. The little creature submitted happily to all the fuss, and when it was over and his mother was finally satisfied, he limped round to her udder and began to suck heartily. "Soon got his appetite back," I said, and we both laughed. I threw the empty tins into my bag and closed it. "He'll have to keep the plaster on for about a month, so if you'll give me a ring, then I'll come back and take it off. Just keep an eye on him and make sure his leg doesn't get sore around the top of the bandage." As we left the barn, the sunshine and the sweet warm air met us like a high wave. I turned and looked across the valley to the soaring green heights, smooth, enormous, hazy in the noon heat. Beneath my feet, the grassy slopes fell away steeply to where the river glimmered among the trees. "It's wonderful up here," I said. "Just look at that gorge over there, and that great hill. I suppose you could call it a mountain." I pointed at a giant which heaved its heather-mottled shoulders high above the others. "That's Heskett Fell, nearly 2,500 feet. And that's Edelton just beyond, and Wedderfell on the other side, and Colver and Senna." The names, with their wild Nordic ring, fell easily from her tongue. She spoke of them like old friends, and I could sense the affection in her voice. We sat down on the warm grass of the hillside. A soft breeze pulled at the heads of the moorland flowers. Somewhere a curlew cried. Darraby and Skeldale House and veterinary practice seemed 1,000 miles away. "God, you're lucky to live here," I said. "But I don't think you need me to tell you that." "No. I love this country. There's no one else quite like it." She paused and looked slowly round her. "I'm glad it appeals to you too. A lot of people find it too bare and wild. It almost seems to frighten them." I laughed. "Yes, yes, I know. But as far as I'm concerned, I can't help feeling sorry for all the thousands of vets who don't work in the Yorkshire Dales." I began to talk about my work. Then, almost without knowing, I was going back over my student days, telling her of the good times, the friends I'd made, and our hopes and aspirations. I surprised myself with my flow of talk. I wasn't much of a chatterbox usually, and I felt I must be boring my companion, but she sat quietly looking over the valley, her arms around her green-clad legs, nodding at times as though she understood. And she laughed in all the right places. I wondered, too, at the silly thing that I would like to forget all about the rest of the day's duty and stay up here on the sunny hillside. It came to me that it had been a long time since I'd sat down and talked to a girl of my own age. I'd almost forgotten what it was like. I didn't hurry back down the path and through the scented pine wood, but it seemed no time at all before we were walking across the wooden bridge and over the field to the farm. I turned with my hand on the car door. "Well, I'll see you in a month." It sounded like an awful long time. The girl smiled. "Thank you for what you've done." As I started the engine, she waved and went into the house. "Helen Alderson," Siegfried said later over lunch. "Of course I know her. Lovely girl." Tristan, across the table, made no comment, but he laid down his knife and fork, raised his eyes reverently to the ceiling, and gave a long, low whistle. Then he started to eat again. Siegfried went on. Oh, yes, yes, I know her very well. And I admire her. Her mother died a few years ago, and she runs the whole place. Cooks and looks after her father and her younger brother and sister. He spooned some mashed potatoes onto his plate. Any men friends? Well, half the young bloods in the district are chasing her, but she doesn't seem to be going steady with any of them. Choosy sort, I think.